Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, rockets and mortars echoed across Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit today as Iraqi security forces and Shia militias pushed deeper into the city they're trying to retake from ISIS. ISIS seized Tikrit last summer. And if Iraqi troops can retake it, they'll have a clearer path to the much larger city of Mosul, which is also currently controlled by ISIS. Mitchell Prothero is Iraq bureau chief for McClatchy. He's with us from Erbil. And Mitchell, what can you tell us about the latest in the fight for Tikrit?
Well, what we've seen is this, unlike previous operations where sort of the Iraqi military itself had run off pell-mell into various areas and sort of claimed they took them over, got ambushed, and then driven back out. This operation in Tikrit, led by Iranian commanders, has been very methodical. So what we've seen in the past few days is that they've taken the eastern bank of the river and cleared that. ISIS blew up the bridge over the river, which essentially trapped themselves now because Iraqi forces are pushing in, if you can imagine, from the west and from the south against the city center, which sits along the river. So the reports today are that they're, the Iraqi security forces and their aligned Iranian-backed militias are now finally entering the very center of Tikrit, where it's very nasty house-to-house fighting. But at this stage, I'd say the garrison that's in the center of Tikrit for the Islamic State is pretty much cut off from escape or reinforcement.
So if the Iraqi troops, backed by Iran, as you say, are able to take control of Tikrit once again, is Iran going to get the credit for that?
Iran deserves the credit for this operation almost completely, in my opinion. I believe there's 20,000, roughly, militia guys fighting who are literally led by Iranian Revolutionary Guard officers. They're equipped somewhat by the Americans, but also well-equipped by the Iranians in terms of ammunition. And they have leaders on the ground. In terms of the number of Iraqi soldiers actually participating, the government claim is 5,000, which I don't quite buy myself. I think that there's probably a couple of thousand very well-trained special forces units that work very closely alongside the militias that are involved. And so, yeah, it's primarily an Iranian operation.
So what happens to the territory if it is retaken? Is it somehow Iran's territory to give back to Iraq, or how does it work?
Well, I mean, the soldiers actually fighting on the ground in the militia are Iraqis. They're just Iraqi Shia Muslims who have been trained and equipped by Iran. So, yes, it will return to government control in theory. The problem is that it doesn't seem as though the Iraqis have embraced some of the moves that experts would say would be necessary for this to be a sustainable sort of bringing them back into the fold, which is namely making peace with local Sunni tribes and establishing local security forces that won't seem like alien occupiers to, you know, the very nervous Sunni residents of Tikrit. So that's kind of the million-dollar question. If anything's left of the town by the time they're finished, we, you know, could see a thing where it's either under occupation or that it falls completely apart and the Islamic State storms back in, as they have done in the past, both in Tikrit and in Baiji.
Meanwhile, what happens with these Shia militias and their Iranian Revolutionary Guard leaders? Do they go off and try to take back Mosul from ISIS?
Well, they're going to continue to fight. I don't know where in the pecking order Mosul comes on these things. I've heard even speculation that they're more concerned about the western province of Al-Anbar because that has gives the Islamic State more opportunities to attack the Shia heartland, whereas Mosul's sort of stuck all the way up in the north where there are no Shia. But yes, they're going to continue to fight. I think that, you know, McClatchy and I are reporting this later today. You're going to be looking at a situation which there will be somewhat of parallel security forces going on indefinitely in Iraq where, you know, much like in Iran, there's a national army, but then there's a Revolutionary Guard. I think we're seeing the formation of something along those lines. We've also seen it in Lebanon where there's a, you know, central government and an army, and then there's Hezbollah, which reports to the Revolutionary Guard. Same principle is going to be applied here, I think, going forward.
What happens then to the U.S.? What role does the U.S. play in that? And is it smart for the U.S. to stand back and allow whatever group of militiamen want to go in and fight ISIS to do that?
Well, I don't know that the U.S. has a ton of options on its plate. I mean, when they invaded in 2003, they made the transfer of Iraq into Iran's sphere of influence de facto. One smart move might be to stay out of it so that, you know, we are seeing persistent reports that the militias and some of the special forces are conducting war crimes against the Sunnis. You know, these are pretty credible, in my opinion. And so it might just be best for the U.S. to continue to call for tolerance and sectarian healing, provide some aid, but, you know, see what happens and not get their hands bloodied in what's turning into a pretty nasty sectarian regional war.
Mitchell Prothero, Iraq Bureau Chief for McClatchy, as the battle for Tikrit goes on. Mitchell Prothero, thank you for joining us.
It's always my pleasure, guys. Anytime.